So let's go ahead and jump into our message. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, as an aside, I've given up coffee. It doesn't sit well with my stomach, but I can't say no to Colin. So I've had three glasses, cups. So if all of a sudden you just see me take off, we're just going to take like a 5-minute break. You guys are welcome to stretch and 2-minute break. Second Chronicles. Did I say first? Second Chronicles. So today we're going to talk a little bit about Jehoshaphat and how God heard him and delivered him. But before we do, I just want to give you a quick reminder a little bit about Jehoshaphat in case he is not on your top 10 list of things you know about the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 22, it was said of him that he walked in the way of Asa his father, and he did not turn aside from it. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That will give you just a little bit of insight, but hey, he is just like the rest of us, and he still makes mistakes. So although he did it, it does also say that while he did walk in the sight of the Lord, or did what was right in the sight of the Lord, or we'll see later, turned his heart towards the Lord, he didn't quite get all the way there, and he, in 1 Kings 22, did not take down the high places. And some of his followers still offered sacrifices to pagan gods. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 7, it tells us a great story of Jehoshaphat being coerced into or manipulated into joining with Israel in a war that God had told Jehoshaphat not to join. Matter of fact, God put Jehoshaphat in a place where Jehoshaphat was about to lose his life. And what did he do? Well, let's back up. Before that, Ahab had asked his prophets and his priests who weren't followers of the Lord what were their predictions of the war. And they all came back with, "You're going to win because you're so great." That's what the Lord has said. And Jehoshaphat said, "Can we find somebody on the side of the Lord, a godly man? Let's hear their testimony." And Ahab said, "There was this one guy, and his name was Mishaiah." I probably pronounced that wrong. But I don't like him because he never prophesies in my favors. So let that be a warning to all of us this morning that we surround people around us who are going to be honest with us about the things that we're doing, regardless of whether we like the outcome of that prophecy, if you will. So Mishaiah told him, "Don't go to war. It's not going to end well for you, Ahab." So Jehoshaphat ignored that. Ahab ignored it, and they went to war. And exactly like Mishaiah was pronounced or prophesied, Ahab was killed. And it says that Jehoshaphat was only saved because at the end he cried out to the Lord. At the end of the chapter, it says the Lord was merciful because he set his heart to seek God. In chapter 19, it goes on to tell us that when he came back, that there was a man named Jehu who approached him and said, "Why were you doing the things that you were doing? You seem to have loved and helped those who hate God. But God has been merciful because you sought him." So today we're going to read from chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. I've asked Mike, because he is obviously the greatest among you, because he is from North Carolina. So he's going to read chapter 20 all the way through verse 30.
"It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'Here comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this site, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? They dwelt therein, and built thee a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, and now Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Rethaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had counseled with the people, consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, he looked into the multitude. Behold, the dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil from them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berechiah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berechiah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest.
May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. Amen. Could you do that again in the NIV? Thank you so much for reading. So partly I asked Mike to read one. I've found later in life I'm having a hard time reading in public because my brain will start thinking about what I'm about to say about the message. And the last two times I've tried to read, I get lost. And then I'm like, forget where I am in the passage and have to ask. That was embarrassing. But secondly, I didn't want to have to try to pronounce all those names. So thank you so much. Right, so here you have Jehoshaphat as the king of Judah. He is 35 years old and in a position of knowing and being told you've got these two, maybe three armies coming against you. I find it interesting that Moab and Ammonites are the descendants of Lot's daughters. So we know how they came into existence. It's amazing how sometimes when we try to take some things into our own hands and make our own plans to further our own benefits in Lot's daughter's cases, wanting to have children, how not only does it not go well, but it ends up impacting hundreds, maybe thousands, and in this case millions of people going forward. We see that also with Ishmael. But today we want to focus a little bit on verse 3. So the first part of verse 3 says Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was fearful. So this is the point of the message today. I wanted to share with you a little bit about my life experience and why this was really important to me. About 3 years ago, my family and I were on vacation in Florida, a vacation I was really looking forward to. My daughter and I, she had agreed to play in a beach volleyball tournament with me. In Florida, we were so excited. We were staying on the beach. It's Clearwater Beach. It's so beautiful. The weather is spectacular. But as the tournament began, I just started feeling not great. And then it just kind of went downhill for the whole weekend to the point where by the end, halfway through the weekend, I couldn't even leave the hotel room. I was really nervous about it because COVID was just kind of coming out. I was pretty sure I didn't have it. I didn't have a temperature. I didn't have any of the symptoms, but just felt really bad. No fever, just didn't feel really good. Made it through the weekend, and when we got to the airport on the way home, something happened in the airport that, to this day, I don't know why it happened. I've flown over 100 times. I fly with work. My parents were fortunate enough to, or kind enough to take me all over the country when I was a kid. I've flown hundreds of times, not afraid to fly, love travel, love the experience, love the adventure. But all of a sudden, I was afraid to get on the airplane. So long story is somewhat short, medium, long story medium, the we later just kind of really found out that I was having a panic attack. Super frustrating to me. For those of you that know me, I'm very confident in my own abilities. I'm not generally afraid to be in public. I'm not generally afraid of a whole lot of things. So it really frustrated me to just not know, why is this happening? I'm not afraid to fly. Why am I all of a sudden afraid to hop on this plane? My heart was racing. I thought I was having a heart attack. I'm like cold sweating. I found myself hiding in the bathroom because I could just be in the stall and not have to see anybody. And it was, the air conditioning was on and it felt cool. So just really didn't know what was going on. Life was good. Family was good. I have a good job. There's really nothing in life to fear. But I found myself like Jehoshaphat, and I was afraid and I was fearful because I just didn't know what that future looked like. Is this the new me? Am I going to have to deal with this the rest of my life? How do you deal with this? Who do I need to talk to? Do I go see a doctor, a psychologist, my elders? What do we do? So during this time, while I was frustrated, I came across this story. It really spoke to me and kind of helped me through what I would say was a pretty dark time for me. And so there's some skills I learned from Jehoshaphat, or some lessons I learned from him that I still apply today. And I want to run through those with you fairly quickly. So let's see what Jehoshaphat did. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So the first thing he did was sought the Lord. And we see this in the example in First, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You don't need to turn there. Paul says, do not be anxious or feel fearful about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So what's Jehoshaphat doing? He's setting that example. One of the first things, don't be fearful about anything. Take your requests to God. Not only does he take his request to God, he doesn't even take time out of the day to stop to eat. Sometimes I think about what my prayer life looks like and my friends' prayer lives. We might take 30 minutes out of our Wednesday night to spend some time in prayer as a corporate group. But I can confess, I don't think I've ever considered, well, let me skip dinner tonight to spend some more time in prayer. And as you can tell, this is some of the product. But what I've also found interesting, and Andrew Huberman spoke about this as well, tying back to him, there are some amazing health benefits to fasting. And I think it's interesting that there's this concept that we do to grow closer to the Lord and spend more time with him that also has not just spiritual impact, but some amazing health benefits as well. So I found peace in knowing that I could take these fears and really just kind of cast them upon the Lord, as 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore. How are we humbling? We need to admit, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know why, but Lord, you must have a plan for this. Under the mighty hand of God, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, so that at the right time I might be exalted, so I can exalt him, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. We'll talk a little bit more about this humility in just a few minutes with Jehoshaphat, as we just saw in 1 Peter. But the first thing he did was sought the Lord through prayer and fasting. The second thing he did, in my opinion, is he employed a team of others to support him and take those needs to the Lord. So verse 3 again, Jehoshaphat was afraid, set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast, not just for himself, but throughout all of Judah. So notice that he implored the whole nation of Israel to join in. Time and time again, we see the benefit of having two or more believers. Mike brought this up this morning. Somebody brought it up this morning. Where two of you are gathered and ask anything in my name, it may be done in my Father's name. And in verse 20 of Matthew 18, for where two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst. I think it was Mike this morning. James 5:16 says, pray for one another that you may be healed. So there is power when multiple believers come together in a like mind and one accord for a specific situation. And in this case, for Jehoshaphat, a specific adversary. This was something that was really hard for me. Again, I like to act like I'm super confident around my friends, and that was the last thing I wanted to do, was confess to them that I just didn't know what was going on, and I was even really just afraid to be around other people. You can ask my wife. I was afraid to come out of the room, afraid to do my job. I didn't want to watch TV. I didn't want to do sports. I didn't want to do anything. But I found, as I opened up to my friends to implore them to pray on my behalf or ask for suggestions, just talking to them was a huge benefit for me. And I also found great encouragement in that several of them have had similar experiences, and we were able to bond together because of that. I got some great suggestions and feedback from some of them. Some of the feedback and suggestions weren't the greatest in my mind, but there is some things they suggested that I still implement today. But let's take a quick look at the prayer that Jehoshaphat used in front of the nation of Judah. You could do a whole message on this. Matter of fact, I highly recommend that you find Nate Bramson's message from 2022 at Skyland. He did a whole message just on the prayer of Jehoshaphat, and it was really good. So I stole, borrowed. I am not trademarking. What's it called when you write a letter, but you a document, but you say it, you footnote it. Footnote it so you know who did it. Perjury. No, I know. I'm telling you that this is from Nate and it's not from me. So Nate, thanks for letting me borrow this. He said that you see three things in the prayer. First, he acknowledges the attributes of God, then the actions of God, and then the adversaries of God. So I've added one more, and that was the acceptance. At the end, it tells us that, or shows us that Jehoshaphat, after his prayer, or at the end of the prayer, admits through humility, I'm accepting the fact that I know I can't win this without you. I'm accepting this fear that I don't know what's happening, but I'm trusting that you're going to provide, because Jehu had just is going to tell us that we are going to win. So Paul gives us a really great example of this process in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You can turn there if you'd like. I don't think there's 12 chapters. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Therefore, I'm confident, or I am well content with this weakness, with insults, with the distress, with imperfections, with persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul also had his affliction, in this case, not necessarily an enemy country, but he had an affliction, and he prayed about it, and he thanked God, and he knows God's grace was sufficient. Those are God's actions. He thanked God for who he is, and then at the end he says, I'm praying for this specific affliction. I would love for it to go away, but give me the grace to accept it if that's not your plan. That was really hard for me to accept, because I really love this anxiety for me to just go away. But I found it comforting to know that maybe this is what God has in plan, and it maybe it's going to last. So let's focus on how to deal with it and use it for His glory. I know through my own experiences that God is capable of delivering it from me if He would like. And while I've prayed for it to be removed completely from me, I've learned how to deal with it. Which is more grace than I deserved. So after Jehoshaphat prayed that prayer, a spokesperson from God came and said, hey, you're not even going to need to fight. Just stand firm, hold your position, and you are going to see God deliver you. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, and I am with you. So the story continues, a couple of verses. Jehoshaphat's so excited about this news that he employs his team again. And what do? They begin worshiping God for an answer that really hasn't even come yet. We've got the promise and a celebration of it before it happens. Matter of fact, in verse 20, it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the message of the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed.' And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were going to sing and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever.'" This really kind of baffles my mind. I'm picturing us about to go to battle. We've got our weapons and swords and shields. We know God's promised us the victory, but we don't quite yet know how that's going to play out. So we're prepared for whatever happens. And then he comes to a group and says, "Hey, I've got a different plan for you. Please put your swords down. You guys are the choir. I'm going to ask you to go before us, and we're going to sing." So most Jewish historians believe the song that they sang, which is also spoken about in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, was Psalm 136. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, you don't need to turn there, it says, "And they sang responsively, singing and praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever." In Ezra 3:11, they were celebrating a major war victory. And as they returned back to their home, they were singing, in my opinion, Psalm 136. So we do not have time this morning to sing it, but I just wanted to throw it up on the board for you for just a moment, because this is what I think happened. And because Ezra 3 says that they were doing it responsively, I think what was happening is Jehoshaphat was marching to war. Some of the singers would sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And the congregation would reply back, "Give thanks to the God of gods." And this would continue through how many verses?
A lot.
Good answer. Thank you. So I'd hope to maybe have done that this morning, but we're running a little bit short on time. But this is what I think is happening. I might be wrong. You can argue with me later. But as they're walking through and they're in this big valley and you've got this several thousands of people singing this song, which, reminds you, is the victory song before they go into war. I can't imagine if I'm the Moabites or the Amorites thinking, "What in the world is happening?" I think some of that confusion plus the Holy Spirit causes confusion among them. And what do? They fight each other and they completely obliterate each other. So Judah goes on to win the war. The enemies fought each other. They destroyed each other. And as we read, what happens? It takes the spoils of the war are so plentiful that it takes 3 days to collect them. At the end, we also read in verse 29 that the fear of God came to all men in all kingdoms of the countries when they had heard that the Lord fought the battle. Verse 3 says, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, and God gave him rest." So we learned this morning that Jehoshaphat was anxious, he was fearful, he sought the Lord, he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting, he employed a team, he prayed for help. In that prayer, he thanked God and acknowledged God's attributes, his previous actions and the ways he's delivered Jehoshaphat, the Israelites, and Judah before. And he prayed and delivered that same information to his team. As they were entering battle, while the anxiety would be what you would think at the highest, what did he do? Let's not focus on what might happen. Let's focus on what God's already done for us and what he's already promised us in the future. He helped control their thoughts, and let's not think about the negative, let's think about the positive. And what happened when Jehoshaphat was faithful in following that advice or those standards, those steps? God provided them with 3 days' worth of spoils, which Jehoshaphat, as we go on to read, used that to fortify Judah, rebuild the courts, put Levites in charge, encourage them to follow the word of the Lord, and gave him a peace. The benefit to the world was they heard of God's promise. They heard what God had done through Jehoshaphat, and the world heard what God had done. I try to practice these same steps regularly. I think they've gotten me to a point where I can live my life almost like I would have been pre-2021. I still have some issues where sometimes I'll get in a situation where I can just feel a little uneasy and it's time to go. Thankfully, my wife and I have code language, and I just give her the look. It's like this. And she's willing to be the villain, and she's like, I've got to go. And then we take off. Sometimes my friends, I play volleyball with some friends, and they're like, where'd you go? So there's a joke. It's a long, funny story. I'm not sure if it's offensive, but we'll tell you. And then if it is, it's called the Irish goodbye. If you just sneak out the back and don't tell anybody that you left, it's called an Irish goodbye. But hopefully you've gotten something out of that point. If you struggle with anxiety as well, feel free. I'd love to talk to you about some things that I do. And hopefully that was an encouragement to you. If we take our cares and cast them upon God, He has shown us in His Word that He is faithful and just and able to deliver. May this be true of us as we deal with our own afflictions and our own adversaries this week. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the example of Jehoshaphat. We thank You for His faithfulness, and we read in the Word that He kept His eyes on You and kept His heart on You. We know He wasn't perfect. We saw that, but neither are we. And we ask for Your Holy Spirit this week to guide us so each day we're spending some time looking at the Son and exposing ourselves to what He has for us. Why? So that we are faithful to spend some time in prayer. Thank You for who You are and what You've done for us, and lean heavily on that so that we can cast our cares upon You. Why? Because You care for us. It's in Your Son's name, Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.